What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Ruben getting it on the lights. We're getting it here in Oxnard, California. The Thursday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station, brought to you by Yardbird, Southern Table and Bar, Rhino Shield, and the On Time Experts. Thank you for all the props on the CeeDee Lamb interview. He was absolutely fantastic in the Wild Pork Foods hot seat. We'll have Below the Belt at 8:40. Brett Boone, he just can't take a week off from us.
He doesn't. Doesn't matter where he is. Seattle, L.A.,
yeah.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
He always came on.
Trade deadline day. Booney will join us at 9 o'clock on your home of the Rangers. They finally got one yesterday against the Angels. And the birthday boy, Tommy Yarish, DallasCowboys.com, on practice yesterday that ended with Brian Schottenheimer snapping over nonstop fighting and said, fine, y'all got all this extra energy. Get your ass on the sideline and run some laps. So Tommy will join us 9:20 from here in the Oxnard tent.
Yeah, they were a little chippy yesterday, and Brian Schottenheimer had about enough, and he had been having enough throughout training camp. He felt like there's been a little bit too much chippiness, a little bit too much pushing and shoving, and he was done with it yesterday. And I think that's something that good, cool, do that, but like drop that. I do wonder a little bit, like, how many times can you play that card with pros? Basically the high school running laps. Like it's being received well right now, but would it grade on them if that became a norm?
So while being out here, you know, we run across some people.
We do.
We've been doing this, you know, for a decent amount of time.
You don't remember any of them, but you run into them.
As all of our interns would tell you.
Man, I got it. Do you guys do this when you get somebody's name in your phone, you put how you know them?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yep, because if it was just a name, I'm going to forget.
Right. Yeah, I got to do exactly who they work for, yeah. How you know them.
So I'm going to relay three things we've been recently told about the Micah Parsons negotiations. And you can take it for what it's worth. I would say that they're from some pretty trusted people. I don't know which one to believe, so I'm going to spill it to you on the fan text, and you tell us where you're going with it. By the way, Trey Hendrickson was explaining the end of his holdout, saying it would have been selfish to the rest of my teammates. So there's Hendrickson showing up to Cincinnati. Choppy is very disappointed in another NFL player not holding firm.
It's just another example of why the NFL PA sucks.
Just
because their players suck.
Just does not look like, when you see him like standing up there doing interviews and stuff, just, I don't know, it doesn't look like a football player to me at his face, like at his hair. He just like, yeah. Looks like he should just be like some guy who works at Target or something.
So here's some of the stuff that we've heard on the Micah contract and saga. Number one, the Cowboys may have felt like they not only had a deal done once with Micah, but twice with Micah. That initially it was, all right, we agreed to a deal. Micah may have taken it back to the agent. The agent's like, whoa, you agreed to that on your own. Let's change some things up. Micah then takes that back to the Joneses and is like, my agent said I need to do this. Jerry's like, okay, cool, I understand. And then that didn't even get it done. So that's something new that we heard, that it wasn't done once, but they may have thought that it was done twice. That's the first thing. The second thing that we heard was that it's just a battle over years, that the Cowboys want this to be a 5-year contract and Micah wants it to be a 4-year contract, maybe to get back to the table like Dak Prescott did sooner rather than later. You get back to the table and the salary has gone up even more. So that's the second thing.
Standard run of league is right 4 years usually, right?
I mean, it just kind of depends. But, yeah, 4 has been kind of the norm.
And then the third thing that we heard was that from the very beginning, none of this should be a surprise, because from the very beginning, Micah's agent told the Cowboys, we're going to be last. Just be prepared to be patient. We're going to be last. Now,
And that's the want to be paid line.
Want to be paid line?
That's where, like, where Steven's line where he says Micah has to want to be paid. That's where that gets right. connected.
Now, does that mean, I took that as, we didn't get further explanation. I took that as meaning we're going to be the last of the DNs because then we'll decide
the market.
Now, the only guy left, though, the reason that doesn't make any sense to me is Trey Hendrickson seems to be the last guy left. Now, the greatest thing that could happen for Micah Parsons and David Mulugeta is Trey Hendrickson gets $40 million or 41.
Yeah.
Right? Or 40 or 42, 43.
Yeah.
So, those are the three most recent things we can tell you here on the morning show. With just over here and gathering up intel, having conversations, you tell us what you believe. That it's 4 versus 5 years, that the Joneses thought this was done not once but twice, and that from the very beginning, Mike and his agent said this is going to get dragged out because we're going to be last on the market to get the highest price. What do you think, Bob?
I think when it comes to getting paid last, if that's what he's communicated, the thing that is probably holding this up and a little concerning, if you think about it, is he's waiting to be the last star. I don't care about my position. I'm going to be the last one to get paid. We're going to pay me relative to who are the best players in the league. Not necessarily that I got to match $60 million from a quarterback, but we're going to figure out relatively to that where I need to be based on my position and how much better I am than these guys. I'm better than these guys. That quarterback's better than these guys, so I need to be paid similarly above them. That's what I need. Like, he could be doing that because this was something last year sitting out there. Steven, when talking about CD and Mike at the time, said something to the effect of, I need to find it, but said something to the effect of, like, these are two guys who are both wanting to be paid, like, the highest non-quarterback in the NFL. And so, like, that's certainly what he's asking for, Parsons, is sure. to be the highest non-quarterback in the NFL. But I'm sure he's waiting for, all right, I got to see exactly where everybody settles in at other positions to determine what that is and how much more.
What other stars are left?
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's still, like, extensions that need to get done, even if it's in the realm of quarterbacks. Like, if Lamar needs to go over and get something done, he may go, like, okay, well, then I need to be paid similar like Lamar is to this guy. Because I'm them to this, so I need to be paid up here.
I mean,
how else do you get Mulugeta negotiating $30 million for Derek Stingley if it's not done like that? I'm that much better than that guy. This guy over here gets paid that much better than this guy, so I need to be that.
And by the way, if two of the three of these are true, I'm taking the Cowboys' side. The Cowboys, and again, I'm not thrilled with the Joneses myself for selfish reasons. So, and it's because I wanted to interview one of them out here as the morning show, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm a little bit irritated and pissed off over that. So I'm not kissing the Cowboys' ass. I'm just trying to be fair. If it's true that Mike and his agent said we're going to be last, then
what are you going to do?
Then the Cowboys don't need to be kicked in the nuts over that. If it's true that they got it done twice and Mike and his agent pulled out still and they're like, nah, never mind that second time, then the Cowboys don't need to be kicked in the nuts over that. I would take Jerry and Steven's side in those two matters. Is all this happening because of a one-year difference? I don't think it would get this ugly. That's the one I probably believe in the least, yeah, that it's 5 versus 4 years, because this has gotten pretty ugly to have it be over that.
Well, and look, it may be 5 versus 4 years, but that's you could get
that may be an aspect of
it's
it.
An yeah, aspect,
but it's not certainly like
nothing
a whole
is going to fall apart for 1 year, right? But yeah, like I guess you could say the Cowboys could come in and say, "Hey, we're going to make you not wait."
I also wonder if they
could do that.
If they were saying we need to be last in relation to the edge rushers, TJ Watt just got paid, so that may be why they were saying it hadn't gotten done yet, and now's the only time that, like, now we're actually finally getting into addressing things.
All right. Let us know what you think on the Franklin LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. That's the latest that we can share with you inside the Star on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
He's writing I guess he started a website or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about not only NFL players like Peyton Manning, he's talking about Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah,
going to Scotty.
He is, look, Tom Brady is one of the, like, all-time super intense, like, I'm going to make everyone my enemy type of competitors. And he has his website now, TomBrady.com, where he puts at the very top of the page, 199. On every one of his posts, you can remember he was picked 199. But every week he likes to sit down and reflect on the events of the week and extract their lessons and do different things. And so he was taking a look. He was talking about how July is a slow sports month. And he starts talking about how necessary a rival is and how necessary competition is. And he said that specifically he was talking about it in relation to the E1 Monaco with his electric E1 boat racing team, which I didn't even know he had. And he was talking about, you know, Wimbledon and some of the other stuff that goes along. But it made him reflect back on Michigan and Ohio State when he had played there and how critical that rivalry was to kind of drive him forward. The part that Choppy's going to like over here is his rivalry with Peyton Manning, which he says rivalry is obviously more than just how many times you play someone. In its purest form, rivalry is a uniquely intense kind of competition that challenges you physically, mentally, and emotionally, pushes you to confront your own limitations, then it compels you to transcend them. And he starts talking about how Peyton Manning really drove him to really level up and be the best version of himself. And he said, when I look back on my relationship with Peyton, my respect, admiration, and appreciation for him as a competitor has grown with each passing year. It was always there, don't misunderstand, but while we were competing against each other, I couldn't let that get in the way of the fact that he was my enemy, that he didn't respect me, that he thought he was better than me because he was a number one pick from an SEC school. Or at least that's what I made myself believe. Convincing myself that those were the truth, those were the things that truly created a sense of urgency within me to prove him wrong, and it provided a little bit of extra energy and motivation necessary to lock in and focus and execute just that much more so that I could beat him more than he beat me. And I drew it back a line to the idea of Kobe and Michael Jordan and the way that those two are and how intensely competitive they were. And I liked it. I thought it was refreshing. I thought it was a nice reset from what we've come to see nowadays, which is like there are bigger things than this. There are bigger things than basketball or football or whatever else. I like the intensely competitive person who doesn't want to be friends with you.
I mean, but the problem is that he's full of S. They're like best friends.
Now,
well, he was talking about what they were playing.
Yeah. They worked out in the offseason together.
I've got a great audio clip that I'm going to play right now. Sean thinks this is ridiculous. I think this is great. And this is what Brian Schottenheimer's trying to instill out here, the way he's got them all competing. And I think Brady touched on it. And this clip going viral yesterday, it's an old clip of a Larry Bird interview where he's talking about what he lost when Magic Johnson left the NBA.
Didn't want to be there that night. First time ever. And really last. I remember we played in Atlanta. Had no feel for the game, you know. This wasn't a good time to be out there. Never had that before. You know, I mean, this competition thing is amazing. What it does to you. What you put your body through and what you do and what you say and how you feel. And knowing that he's not there wouldn't feel right. But I think it's all them years that, you know, what's he doing? What if he's practicing this hard? I bet he shot 500 shots a day and I didn't get 500 in. It's always that mind games. I didn't check the papers anymore. You know, it didn't matter. I still wanted to compete, you know. But it wasn't the same. It really wasn't.
So Brady, I don't know why that's funny. I guess I seriously can't figure it out.
It's funny because it amazes me what circulates. What? Why something recirculates?
Because
was it the anniversary of Magic's AIDS yesterday? Did Magic Johnson pass away? Like it
no,
just
it wasn't TikTok.
It just humors me over.
This got lost in time. Like I don't think anybody knows. Like this was probably something that 30 years ago was done.
What got lost?
Like
Magic's AIDS?
No, this statement that he had. Like just in general, him talking about Larry Bird.
Got lost.
Larry Bird doesn't do interviews. Like Larry Bird doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. Larry Bird has not really gone deep into this. So the fact that this existed 30 years ago and probably was like, oh, this is an interesting thing 30 years ago. There's a lot of people today who don't know it, and I think it's so rare that competition level that exists for most fans today, that when they see that, or they see Brady writing about it, or they see what Schottenheimer's trying to drive home as he's simultaneously kicking guys out of practice and making them run laps, but he still wants that. Like, you're hearing two intense competitors right there, Brady and Larry Bird. Larry Bird's saying he stopped reading papers. He became less competitive when Magic wasn't there to push him anymore. That's what Schottenheimer's trying to do out here. He's trying to drive them to be competitive and tap into something that they can't get just on their own with their hard work.
There it is. Bobby got his audio clip in. He said, just trust the process and watch the radio magic work here on DFW Sports Station.
I tell stories, bro.
Below. AI tells the stories. You just read AI writing that out for you.
That's offensive.
Heading back to school? Head to DSW first and save up to 25% on select styles from big deal brands. Score major savings on must-have shoes and accessories from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Reebok, Hey Dude, and Under Armour. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. Whether you're prepping for the kids' first day back or just for a busier calendar, get up to 25% off A-plus styles for women, men, and kids at your DSW store or DSW.com for a limited time.
Think AI can write as good as I do.
Choppy updates the trade deadline. Are the Rangers going to do anything? RJ has it for you and some Diamond Cavs next.
Simeon swings 3-0, and that one is blooped into right center field, a base hit. Seager rounds 30, comes home and scores. Simeon at first with an RBI single. Rangers retake the lead. It's 2-1 in the top of the sixth.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
How can you not be romantic about sitting there holding your new you-know-what while everyone else is making moves at the trade deadline?
Your teases for this have been very good.
I appreciate that. You know, maybe I shouldn't plan them because I don't plan these.
Yeah.
I come up with them at the moment.
You've not had the greatest history of teasing at this station, and no. I was wondering if you had been thinking of these in the commercial break.
No.
Well, they've been pretty flawless.
Thank you. Thank you. See, what happened is I'm losing my mind, so they're getting better. So I got nothing up there.
Yeah, you forgot you didn't know how to do them.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. But it is deadline day.
I'm sorry, I can't look over here without Sketchball Bobby and his two cell phones both face down.
Are they supposed to be face up?
Have you had
my phone's always face up. I have a thing on the bottom.
Have you had two phones out every day?
Yeah. It's usually one's been over here and one's been over here. But this is the one I use to record video at training camp. And this is the one that's just like my phone.
Okay.
So it is deadline day. And I guess 5 p.m. Central Time. We're out here in Pacific time. So 5 p.m. Central Time is the deadline, and the Rangers are kind of being caught. Now, there's been some moves this morning and late last night that took place. Obviously, Suarez going from the Diamondbacks to the Mariners. So the Mariners got two of the bigger impact bats on the trade market this deadline in Naylor and Suarez. So he shores up third base.
Man.
This is big. They're going for it.
Who's their GM? I think we need to be praising that individual.
Not Pat Gillick anymore.
No, what's his name? Jerry something. Jerry DePoto. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
We'll have to ask Brett Boone about it at 9. You know he knows Seattle well.
Yes, he does. So that's tough. That's tough to sit there, be in the same division, be neck and neck with them, and then kind of pull out in front of you.
Hmm. Well, Tolo Chris, he's been lighting us up over Ranger possibilities. He said they're not going to do anything, y'all. They have to stay under the cap this year to reset their luxury tax clock so they can't grab anyone with an existing contract.
So that's a problem, you know. So like the Cubs just got Andrew Kittredge. And he is he's a bullpen arm with the Baltimore Orioles. So he signed a $9 million deal over the winter, 1 year, $9 million. You know, if you sign that now, you're going to be on the hook for, what, four of the nine? So that would put them in a spot where they might go over the tax, and they want to stay under it.
But if they deal John Gray, which was something that was suggested by Evan Grant, that's like a net 6.5.
Right. Yes, you're right. It would be.
In order to bring somebody in, they might have to shed payroll in the process. To deal somebody out so they can take on another one.
So they're in.
Okay with that? Let's just put it on the spot. Would you be okay with trading away John Gray for that money.
Yes. Yeah. I would. You've gotten to this point without John Gray for the most part this year. Is he going to be in your rotation plans?
What about and I agree with you, yes, on John Gray. What about Adolis Garcia?
Yes.
No.
$10.5 million 2025 salary.
They're not going to sign him long term.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about...
Is it just for playoff magic hope?
It's not even that. It's just he's one of the few guys that can run into a baseball and, like, change the game. Like on this team. That I consistently feel like he could...
Yeah,
like,
but he can run. He runs in the wrong direction half the time.
I know, but right now I'll take that over, like, the rest of the lineup that's also hitting 200 and not hitting, like, the ball hard enough. Like, at least Adolis is hitting 200, but he will hit home runs for you.
I guess now. I should follow it up with, you shed Adolis' salary for what?
Yeah, what do you get? Are you getting are you getting Mason Miller, the closer from Oakland?
Mason Miller makes $700,000. That should be. You shouldn't have to shed anything.
You shouldn't. But I'm saying, like, if I told you this, you're trading Adolis for Mason Miller.
I would say you didn't need to do that, but yeah.
But you would do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no one else would, but yes, yeah.
What do you mean no one though?
Like, I mean, no one would take Adolis for Mason Miller.
Right,
and there's no need to make the financial trade-off. It's not a necessity with Mason Miller.
Rodgers goes to the Mets. Helsley goes to the Mets. Duran goes to Philly. These are all relief bullpen arms. Kittredge, like I just said, going to the Cubbies. A lot of moves have been made as we hit to trade deadline day.
They're going to end up with another Chafin deal is what they're going to get. I bet.
Chafin got one on the move yesterday as well. They're talking about the Giants, San Francisco Giants, maybe fleecing the Mets in a trade for one of those for the Tyler Rogers deal. That's kind of the risk that you run because guys are being paid at such a premium. We mentioned Duran getting moved from the Twins. I love what the Twins have done this trade deadline, and it has nothing to do with the actual trades. This is called hug watch, hug season.
Hug?
Oh, yeah. You love that?
Yeah, it's hug season. So, in the dugout, a guy will get traded in the middle of the game a lot of times. So, you see him in the dugout hugging all of his teammates. What the Twins are doing, they're trolling it. They just start randomly hugging guys. And they'll just go down. They're going to get up and go to the bathroom or go in the clubhouse. They just get up and start hugging everybody before they go. And they're like, oh, my God, are they getting traded? Are they getting traded? And then he's back in the dugout after he takes his poop.
He's back
in the dugout 10 minutes later.
I'm against this in a big, big way. This is traumatizing to young baseball fans like it was to myself. I will never forget, like, bawling my eyes out at 7 years old, 8 years old, whatever it was, when they showed the shots of Dean Palmer leaving the Rangers clubhouse, hugging everybody goodbye after he'd hit a home run that night, and then he got traded to Kansas City. That was so upsetting as a young baseball fan.
I get what you're saying there, but this is also pretty funny and cool.
No, it is funny. It's
cool
if you're hilarious.
Not cool if you're a Twins fan.
Like, Willie Castro got pulled from a game. They just pulled him from the game. And he was hugging all his teammates.
Yeah.
And there he is sitting in the dugout. Like, he never actually
That's
left.
Funny.
Somebody who did leave is a guy by the name of Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Was he at Gilbert Arenas' game?
He was not at Gilbert Arenas' game.
I can't get Good Gilbert Arenas' whatever you call it.
That's not mine.
That's not mine. It is jersey on the felt.
Arenas' poker game.
Arenas' poker game. That's awesome.
So Shohei was pulled.
the way you're saying it, too. That's not mine.
Shohei was pulled from his start. Middle of the start. And now they're saying it was cramps, but he threw six straight balls and then he walked off the mound. Like the trainers came out, he walked off the mound. It was the seventh start of the season for him. In the first six, he had thrown just 12 innings, so they're really, really limiting him. He did not record a win or a loss, but had an ERA of 1.5. But obviously, hasn't been there in Dodger uniform to be a pitcher yet. They're trying to get him down that road. But here we go, middle of an at-bat, six straight balls, two of which looked like they came off the arm of Clase and Luis Ortiz, just yanking these things right into the dirt. So he gets pulled out, and now it's a waiting game to see if this is a bigger problem.
And, I mean, if this is something, the investment you have in him, you can't let him pitch again.
No.
Like, I don't think. I think you just got to say, sorry, you're done, dude.
And what were they initially trying to call it?
Cramps, I think. I think they said cramps.
Yeah, so that is an amazingly
great
initial report.
Romo reported Dak's broken leg was a cramp.
That's
too, so, I mean,
very
no, that's happened
true.
That's what happens when you just talk ball.
Speaking of Shohei.
How has he been on the mound, by the way?
Good. I mean, he's only had 12 innings, but his ERA is under 2 in those 12. So, I mean, he's been pretty decent. Speaking of Shohei.
Well, 15 innings, a 2.40 earned run average.
Yeah, now it's a 15.
Yeah.
But it, in the previous 6 starts, it's been a 12.
Well, now it's a 15.
Ipe. You mentioned Ipe.
Yeah, and Mizumara. You mentioned Class A. So, yeah, yes. These come together.
So, there is a documentary series in the works, a scripted series about the scandal involving Shohei and Ipe Mizuhara with Stars. Ipe is serving a prison sentence of 57 months for bank fraud and filing a false tax return. The project was first floated a year ago, and now they are talking about this thing is about to get the funding and about to get done, and they are going to go ahead and do this. I'm fascinated by. I can't wait to see what they actually come of this. I don't even know if I have Stars.
Right.
I don't even know if I have Stars. But we need more of this because I feel like the story just disappeared. You know, he went to jail, just disappeared. Like nobody talks about anything. Because it's shameful in my opinion that we just accepted that he took the fall. You know, and he's doing
this. Because you think Shohei's more guilty?
Yeah. Like, do me a favor. Go steal $16 million and see if you get 60 months in jail.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get more, right?
Right.
You're probably getting more.
Yeah. Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with RJ Choppy. We have some controversy over Hulk Hogan's funeral, Bobby.
Yeah, this is there's a big split. Radar Online had the report that the big controversy relating to Hulk Hogan's funeral isn't anything relating to something that occurred while he was alive or how do we remember his legacy or anything like that. Well, I guess it's kind of how you remember his legacy. A fight has broken out over whether Hulk Hogan should be buried in a suit or his wrestling spandex. There's a whole split, apparently, of like, you got to honor him, let him be buried in his outfit. And others are like, you cannot do that. He needs to be buried in a suit like a regular individual because that is what is respectful. And this we were talking about this on the plane a little bit. Like, who else would you have to have this with? What?
Go back up. What? He needs to be buried in that right there, a tuxedo with the bandana.
Yeah. That's how he wore it. Went to every formal event.
Every formal event.
Yeah. How did you decide what your dad would wear?
He was cremated.
Oh.
He was cremated. So we didn't have to make that decision. But, you know, I don't know what he would have wore.
He wore, so he was he wore flames guy. Like
what did
Hulk
you,
did there.
What did you say he always wore around the house?
Oh, he wore full clothes. I mean, he wore sneakers everywhere he went.
Yeah.
He would.
Sneakers in the house.
In the house. On the couch. Feet up. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Oh, he was always ready.
Always ready.
Always ready. Always ready. He would not leave the bedroom in the morning until he showered. He would not leave the bedroom in the morning until he got dressed. He would wake up, shower, dress, sneakers, breakfast. Every day.
Did he hate, like, sitting at home, so he wanted to get up and run out of the house?
He was a mall rat. He wanted to go to the mall every day.
What?
Shopping. Every day.
Walking it or shopping?
Shopping.
Shop.
Walk around.
Your
shop.
Dad liked to shop at the mall?
Loved it.
I'm stunned.
Want to go see what's out there. See what's out there.
See what's out there.
What would, I would be buried in a hoodie, obviously.
Yeah,
you would be buried in Vols gear. Is there anything that they would, like, your family would be like, we got to bury Sean with, like, a spatula or something? Or, like, we got to put some barbecue sauce in there.
No. They would probably make fun of me for the hoodie as well.
Shoddy, like, do you think whenever Shoddy's time comes, do you think his family's like, we got to put the visor on him?
God. I would think so.
They might. Or Spurrier, who he got it from. Spurrier, I bet, would want to be buried in a visor.
877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text line here on DFW Sports Station. Is Mozzie Smith ready to break out? Will Brian Schottenheimer go full R2-P2? Cowboys, true or false, is next in Below
the belt.
Right here on The Fan.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby knows ball. Hey, let's talk ball. We're the ball knowers and we just talk ball. Welcome to my new segment, the ball knowers of the round table, where we talk ball and we just, you know, chop it up like dudes do. That's what we do here on 105 Through the Fan. You got to turn your mic on, Sean.
Oh,
man,
baby.
You've gotten got by that so many times.
I need Ruben to come over here and do it for me like he serves choppy. Did I go off on this yesterday on the radio about ball?
You did this morning.
On the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do it again. The douchiness. I can't stand when people go, let's talk ball. Let's talk. I just see Romo saying it. Maybe Witten. I can respect Witten more for saying it because, you know, I love that saying, the secret's in the dirt. But Bobby said it the other day, and it literally made my skin crawl when he's like, yeah, let's just talk ball. And I'm like, please don't say that. It's like RJ's abbreviations. It's just it's a sports pet peeve of mine.
Abreves.
Let's talk ball.
Abreves.
You know? Do you think that? Do you roll your eyes at that? Let's talk a little ball.
It's a little eye-rolly. Yeah, it's a little eye-rolly.
Okay.
But, I mean, then again, I mean, I have, like, my kid, that's all how my kids talk now. I'm you know, trying to make VAR next year. Instead of varsity.
God. Bobby knows ball.
I hope I'm on VAR.
See, to me, the whole thing was just like, it's like if somebody goes by a nickname and I'm just referring to their nickname or whatever. It's like that. We were saying they like when you sit there and you talk ball with them. That's how I said it. I said it like that, using their language, because we're talking about how to interview Tyler Booker.
T-Book.
Yeah, T-Book. We're talking about how to interview T-Book. See? That's how we do it.
See, I would think that's just, why would he not just go by Book? Why T? I get T Sizz with T Tyler Smith. I get that, right? There's the Smith is very Book.
Well, T
Book.
Yeah, T Sizzle has been his nickname since high school.
Yeah, I get so. Book.
T Sizzle. That's Terrell Suggs.
Well, that's why he goes by T Sizz. Maybe there's another Book. Marty Booker may have been Book, and so he was just like, well, I can't claim that. Marty Booker's legacy lives on forever. All right, we're gonna do I'm gonna give you guys a few statements, and there can be no fence riding here. You have to say two of these statements are true. Okay, we're going to do two truths and a lie.
Okay.
I'm going to read three statements to you about the Cowboys this season, and you have to pick which two you think are the truth and which one is the lie, even if you think there may be two lies in there. All right, first one here. These are your options. The primary starting running back isn't on the roster right now.
That's a lie.
George Pickens will be drama-free this season. That's Brian Schottenheimer will play the offense conservative.
That's a lie. They're all lies.
You got to pick two that are truths. Because
George Pickens. Okay, we have to pick two that are truths.
Yep.
All right, say the first statement.
The primary starting running back isn't on the roster right now.
I can say that that's a truth.
Okay,
real okay. See, I would think that's a lie because like
Chiafalo was so hyped up to get like Miles Sanders the other day when we were talking at dinner, like who should be the next guest. He's like starting running back. Everyone's interested, and I know he's listening right now because the nosebleeds, they are dedicated. Tolo's waking up early for some reason. They could be sleeping in, but I was like, I don't really. Who cares? Who cares about listening to Miles Sanders speak? Like he's a journeyman
to me. If the running back that's out there was any good, he'd be on a roster.
Well, the running back they liked last year, Zach Moss, just got cut in Cincinnati yesterday. By the way,
if he got cut, then why would I want him?
I mean, yeah, because the Cowboys have never scooped somebody up off the street that was cut in the middle of training camp.
Okay, but
literally
to start,
every year you're
to
out
start?
Here. Yeah, they started Anthony Barr. They've started guys before who got Carl Lawson started for them last year.
But you're saying I have to pick two.
Yeah,
true.
Two of them
so
are true.
I will say that the guy who ends up with the most yards rushing the football is not on the roster right now.
Okay.
That's how we do it when we talk ball.
And then George Pickens will be drama free this season, or Brian Schottenheimer's gonna play the offense conservative.
I think there will be times. I still think that he's going to play the offense. He could say all he wants that he's this open it up guy.
which he has not said out here this week. He's talked about running the ball.
Yeah. He's going to play conservative. This because I also think this team is built to run the ball. If they're
Lamb and Pickens,
Ferguson,
who you just paid,
with their line, if the line plays to the potential.
I'm going to lean more towards, I don't think that Brian Schottenheimer is going to be conservative, but I have more confidence in knowing that, I want to be a homer here and be like, if all this George Pickens love, and say he's not going to be, that he's going to be drama free. I'll lean more towards George Pickens will be drama free than Schottenheimer will be conservative.
All right. And you're saying the lie there is the running back.
The running back. I mean,
we got to pick two lies. Two truths.
Two truths. So that's the lie.
The truth is that George Pickens will be drama free and that Schottenheimer will be more conservative. Reputations are earned.
For a reason. Just like DNM Leasing, dmautoleasing.com, which brings you below the belt.
And you know, Shoddy has gotten the reputation that he's a conservative.
Yeah, but Pickens has a reputation, too.
He does.
Pickens' reputation he's established so far, though, is that, like, he knows he needs to get paid, and he needs to, play nice.
Let's put the homerism aside, and let's speak truth here. Mm-hmm. This is a fact. It's not an opinion. Before he was dealt here, George Pickens was the biggest nutcase in the National Football League.
He had the worst reputation.
As a nutcase.
Not like an Antonio Brown level or anything like that, but he was like...
You don't have to lower your voice.
He was just like...
Don't be scared.
I'm just saying, that's not like an truth. Antonio Brown level or anything.
Talk to me like you do in the car 4 a.m. Yeah. 2 a.m.
That is your sensitive early morning hearing is what that is. And I sit in the front seat. Ruben stole it this morning. He's just like, Ruben, feet, lose your seat.
He's gotten a little, his confidence / cockiness has gone up in the past 12 hours.
Yeah, because he's been giving such great coffee here. He's going to get a hell of a tip. I think the thing with Pickens is
we're seeing the real Ruben.
I don't know that I could really judge his diva-ness based off the quarterback play he had. He was just in a pissy mood.
Right. And the OC.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be in just that kind of mood.
Yep.
I think he'll be on his best behavior. And I think Shoddy is, he's been more conservative his entire career. And he hasn't had, like, elite quarterback play necessarily, but, I mean, Russ was no bum.
Right. Yes.
We're doing two truths and a lie here on 105.3 in the ball knowers of the round table. All right, you have to remember, you got to pick two of these, and they would be for very different reasons. Matt Eberflus is one and done. George Pickens is one and done. Clayton Adams is one and done.
Well, Clayton Adams is not going to be one and done.
Clayton Adams would not. They're, again, for different reasons. Clayton Adams would be, he is an idealistic candidate who wants to go get a job somewhere right in this place.
All right, so we got to pick two truths out of that.
Yep. Matt Eberflus is one and done. George Pickens is one and done. Or Clayton Adams is one and done.
George Pickens is one and done.
I'll lean towards that as well.
And Clayton Adams is one and done.
And the reason I'm saying George Pickens will be one and done is because they won't pay him what he will command after the really good season he has.
Because they can't.
Not because they don't want to. Oh, man, Choppy, I don't know what's happening. You and I are becoming lockstep.
That's coffee.
Oh. And then, you're becoming lock. You wouldn't say lockstep if you and Chop were totally in sync. Now, what's the Eberflus or Adams for you?
Well, Eberflus is not getting a head coaching job.
No, Eberflus would be, this didn't go right.
Oh, it's not going right. No, I'll lean more towards Clayton Adams as one and done because he gets hired somewhere else because of the development of the O-line, if I have to pick.
And you said Adams as well?
Yeah, look, the Cowboys are not going to have four defensive coordinators in 4 years.
That could be the case. All right, last one here. Mozzie Smith will finally be a legit piece on defense. DeMarvian Overshown will not play this year. Deron Bland is in his final season with the Cowboys.
Deron Bland, I'll pick as a truth, just because the money's going to run out.
That feels like a Byron Jones situation, potentially. I mean, for different reasons, because they were just like, he doesn't get interceptions, and all Bland does is get interceptions now, but...
And then Overshown will not play. That's how little confidence I have in Mozzie.
Man.
The way you phrased it, how'd you phrase it?
Mozzie Smith will finally be a legit piece on defense. Not a star, but somebody who, like, you can count on to play decently.
No.
Dude, I had somebody tell me yesterday while we were out there at practice, they were just like, have you just ever seen somebody out here at these practices just look more just like kind of head hanging low?
Mopey.
Just like, and not even like a, like, I don't want to be here, but just like, doesn't look like he feels confident at all.
Although I will say, who sat down with us and go, did you see Overshown running after that pick? Was it Kyrie?
That was Kyrie Elam, yeah.
Kyrie. So
who had an interception yesterday again?
When he said that, and I believe in Overshown, he's going to do everything. And I do think Overshown will get on the field with like two or three games left to play, I'm going to guess. But when he said that, I was like, are you trying to tell us something? He's like, Overshown looked good running, didn't he? And I was like, okay. What are yours, Choppy?
Mozzie is not going to be a worthwhile piece on defense. So Overshown will play.
Is there anything about Eberflus coming here though and trying to say, all right, look, he's being misused. Let's slim him down. Let's use his freak traits to just get him upfield and become a pass rusher instead of trying to be a physical bully.
Change it up. Why not?
I mean, yeah, there's no try to.
I mean, in talking ball with Bobby, all he's been doing, this tells you why Bobby shouldn't be using that phrase, talking ball, because all I've heard about is Mozzie's this freak, and Mozzie, you know, he is this Marvel character. I've never seen any of it while watching any of the games, so let's see if it can actually come to fruition by slimming down and using more athleticism.
Well, that wouldn't be talking ball. That would be talking combine, and that is not what this podcast is. This is the podcast Ball Knowers of the Round Table.
The ball knowers.
That's what we do.
The ball knowers.
So, yeah, I think. I have a tough time seeing Mozzie Smith fleshing out
the
player that he needs to be.
Yeah, Eberflus isn't a miracle worker.
Come on, man. But look, I mean, I'll tell you what. If Mozzie Smith is finally a legit piece on defense, then Matt Eberflus is definitely not one and done. He will get a ton of credit for that.
B-Lo.
B-Belt.
Live from Oxnard.
Ball knowers of the round table on the fan.
Ball knowers of the round table. I feel like we need like a circle. Like we're putting our hands over it with sparkles in it and a
Bobby
light.
Knows ball. Hey, let's talk ball.
An awful, awful intro. He just can't get away from us. And the morning show night before tradition carried over. Brett Boone comes on after a Rangers win because the Rangers hitting coach on trade deadline day joins us next.